Hello, and welcome to The Joy of Yes, with me, Graham Pate, and my very special guest, Lee Boys.
Now, I have to say that you are very unique.
We're all unique. Yeah.
Well, let me continue. I just need to say that you were very unique to me because you were the very first person ever to ask me for notes about a performance. You were the very first person to say, would you give me notes? I was like, okay, are you sure? and I remember I was very nervous about giving you notes because I thought, who am I? Who am I to give the miraculous Lee Boys notes about improv? But I actually found it a really interesting experience for me because it made me reflect on my own improv by giving you notes. I think I gave you like a novel. I think it was like a 4-page novel of notes because I was reflecting so much on what I had seen in your show and enjoying it that it really – and I think at the end of it, if I remember correctly, I think I wrote down, here's what I have taken out from watching you for me. And listed a couple of things that I wanted to work on based upon what I had seen, which I thought was really fascinating. But so you're a very unique person to me in the sense that you were the first person to ever say, "What do you think?"
Well, I know you're a fan of the form, yeah. And like you watch our shows often, and I think your opinions. I think everyone's opinions are valid, and I think that something I really don't like about performers of all forms. Is when they like talk down to their audience or disrespect their audience because they quote unquote don't get it. And I think that's such an arrogant thing to do. And I just feel that like everyone has a valid opinion and I want to know how I affect my audiences. And like we came, I think I asked you because I knew that like you would look at it with a critical eye. And it wouldn't be the type of critical eye that I was used to. If that makes sense, it would be just someone that would have like a slightly different opinion that's not coming from like I'm like fighting off the word
experienced.
Well, kind of, I guess. I'm fighting off the word but peer because like you are my peer. We're peers.
Thank you.
So
I know what you mean
like someone that is at a level of experience or instructor like type realm. Hmm. Like, someone that's been doing this as long as I have. Hmm. Right? And I just I wanted to know how the show was basically.
Well, see, it's interesting because you talked about not talking down to the audience, but what do you expect, especially at Legion where it can get so macabre and so dark. It's not just always macabre and dark, but it does get that way. Mm-hmm. What do you expect your audience to get from it? Do you expect them to walk out thinking that was hysterical, that was a lot of food for thought, it was entertaining? What do you expect from your audience?
That's something else that's evolved over the years. When I first started doing this show, and I remember like having that question asked to me by like a former artistic director, and I told them, I'm like, I want this show to be the greatest thing that they've ever seen in their life, always. And they looked at me like mouth agape, and they're just like, you can't fill that promise. That's insane. Like, why would you put that gravity on yourself? For an improv show that you're making up all by yourself? Like, you can't expect yourself to do that always. But it genuinely was what I wanted it to be. I used to come out, like, guns blazing. Like, the show would start at 10, and it would get pushed as far as it could to like 11, 12, 13 in terms of my energy level. Like I would just ram my show down people's throat. And it's because I wanted to blow them away. And it was too much for an audience, right? So it took like lots of years of playing with it and figuring out like how I want the audience to react. There's like several moments that I just stand out in my brain. I can't remember the exact context, but I just remember that feeling, that notion of like finishing a show and it just being dead silent for like 10 seconds afterward. And then like the slow applause and like me like leaving the stage and just being like, damn it, hating myself, and another AD coming up and just being like, that was amazing. That was so good. I'm just like, yeah, well, they didn't like it. I mean, you heard that applause, and they were like, no, the reason it took them 10 seconds to applause is not because they didn't like it, is because they were just sitting in that moment and so like full on impressed in whatever way by what they'd just seen. So like it went from like wanting to just be the best thing they'd ever seen in their entire life to realizing those moments when the audience would be dead silent and you could hear a pinprick, and I would hear just someone like gasp or awe or just say like, oh my God, like those things. It became like getting that reaction. It got to the point for me in my performance career where and this is something I still struggle with, is that like I got over jokes. I realized that I can make people laugh, and pretty much any improviser can make people laugh. I don't care about making you laugh. I guarantee, and I say this at the top of my show just because I have to set it up, because it is such a weird, dark thing. It's like, I guarantee I will make you laugh, but that's not the point of this show. I want to play with your hearts and I want to play with your minds. So having those moments where people are genuinely affected in a way that they did not expect when they came to an improv show, that's kind of like my goal for an audience now, is if I can make you cry, if I can make you care for a character so much and then just snap that character's neck and pop their head off like to make you react like, oh my God, like those are the reactions that I want from an audience now. I want you to do anything but laugh. I want you to leave that theater questioning yourself, questioning theater, questioning performance, questioning what you saw and how you reacted to it. That's, again, a lofty goal, but that's pretty much what I hope an audience feels when they leave that show now.
That's cool. It's interesting. I'm thinking about the last workshop show in the musical. You were there. Of course you were there. And I came out playing this character, which I don't know where this character came from. I didn't even know I could do that accent. Anyway, the grandfather, and at the end of the scene, the grandfather died. And everybody laughed. And I remember walking off the stage going, why did they laugh? Because it was not the...
Because laughter is catharsis.
Yeah, resonated when you said that, which was, they invested in that character, and so that when he did die, which was kind of going to happen, but it was their way of letting it out. I did, at the time, think, that's not what I expected.
No. But I mean, I think, if I remember correctly, that was also part of your platform, right? Is that, like, that this character was aged and on the way out,
yeah,
right? So when you fulfill that promise to an audience, it's still satisfying. And, like, yeah, you get that difference of just those people that, like, they laugh because it's like, dang, we should have seen it coming. And, like, he played us. And it's fun, the mischiefs that you showed. But it's also, we cared about that character and that relationship. And I think that's so fascinating.
Certainly for me, and that's why I said earlier on that being on that stage that time was one of the best times I've had on stage, was because I felt that of the characters I played, I really felt invested in that character. I wanted to find out more about that character. It was just so odd that at the end of that scene when this grandfather is dying, I was kind of expecting a, oh, or something. But the laughter really threw me off. And I should have expected it in a way, now that I think about it, because it was catharsis. It was a way of them letting off that steam, or going, mm-hmm, oh, yeah, of course. Of course he was going to die. Well, it was so obvious, yeah.
Yeah, it was that tone of the scene. The scene was a very sweet, like, grandfather, granddaughter kind of vibe, right?
It is interesting that all of my characters, it's true, I mean, it was mentioned that all of my scenes that I did that evening were all very depressing and negative. I thought, where is this coming from?
Yeah, you know? you and I just kind of talked a little bit about this earlier too, and that's something that I feel I am like locked in as a performer is, I think because of the fact that I'm like, I don't care about making an audience laugh anymore, is that I want the laughter to come from something else, not just like set up punchline, here's a joke. So being able to like play with whatever you can get in terms of the response or the emotions, I think is really cool. And for myself as a solo improviser, like I just find that any scene I do now, whether it's by myself, I guess, or with any other person, is that I will take it into a more, not necessarily serious realm, but I guess grounded. I think that's it, is that like I kind of, I've been known to commit very hard to everything that I do on a stage. So it ends up having that weight to it. And I end up like, it's really hard for me to do like the goofy nonsense scenes just because I'll commit so hard to like, if I'm angry, then that character's angry. And there's comedy in that too. I'm really inspired by just the comedy that comes from our real lives, or like my greatest influences are those kind of not set up punchline comedies. So I think of things like the Larry Sanders Show with Gary Shandling, or Ken Finkelman's The Newsroom, which is a Canadian show. Things, The Office, the original like the UK version of The Office. Those funny but not funny like scenarios that
the awkwardness
that comes from just like real life, those are the moments that like I find funny, and those are the moments that I try and play just because it's instinctual. But those moments don't necessarily translate in an improv realm, because improv is so much wacky.
Yeah, I guess that's because it's the expectation. I mean, having Whose Line being probably one of the TV shows that really focuses on the wacky in some ways, and so people expect that. Mm-hmm. I remember coming to my very first Saturday show where it was a long form, and it wasn't necessarily all comedic. And I loved it, but it was very different. And you go, oh. And I think that's why I loved Legion, is because it was so different. It wasn't wacky. It was, this is... Okay, it's not real. I mean, you don't often have talking heads with bodies that follow them, but there was a reality and a groundedness to it that you don't get in, say, maybe theater sports. And I think that, like, having a decent meal, you don't want to have a meal of theater sports all the time, and it's the jokes. You want to have those groundedness sometimes, too. It makes it far more satisfying, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And everybody that does solo improv is going to have their own flair to it. I'm just thinking of my head like the, I think maybe there's half a dozen other people that I've seen do it. And I think if there's one kind of through line to the ones that I've seen do it that are good, it's heart. It's genuine heart. It's the ones that are not entertaining are the people that do big, floppy, wacky characters, and they run back and forth to play those two characters, and it's not really grounded. It's the people that are genuinely come at it with heart and a grounded sensitivity. That those are the most engaging solo improvisers for sure.
Thank you for listening to The Joy of Yes with me, Graham Pate, and my special guest, Lee Boys. Tune in next week when Lee and I will continue our conversation about all things to do with improv. Thanks for listening.